What's good? I'm Nikisha Elise Williams, and this is Black and Published on the Mahogany Books Podcast Network, bringing you the journeys of writers, poets, playwrights, and storytellers of all kinds. Today's guest is me. My novel, The Seven Daughters of Dupree, comes out January 27th, 2026, so in like 3 weeks. It's available for pre-order right now, anywhere you like to get your books. But of course, I like it when you support independent bookstores. If you have a local Black bookstore, please support them. But anywho, as I said in the trailer, which also dropped today, I'm doing like a mini-series within this sixth season of the podcast about how the Seven Daughters of Dupree came to be. So let's begin at the beginning with the writing.
All right. It is time to tell the story of the Seven Daughters of Dupree. Oh, gosh. Just as a warning, I'm about to tell y'all a whole lot of my business, and I might cry. I don't think I am, but I might just a little bit. But all right, so here we go. The Seven Daughters of Dupree came to me when I had this idea. I'm a writer, artist, so like I think to myself and I talk to myself and all that type of stuff. And so I was thinking to myself one day, I want to write the blackest book ever. And this was like in 2019, I had this thought that occurred. And immediately this title came to my mind. It was not The Seven Daughters of Dupree. That is not what I called this book for the longest of times. There was a different title that came to my mind. And when that title hit me, I knew that the story would involve a beautician and her daughter. And I knew that her daughter would be wanting to know her father and that she didn't know her father. And that's kind of like all I knew. And so that idea was in 2019. And so I took the notes in my phone and I started to like jot out little things for the characters, but like I couldn't really pay it any attention. 2019, that was 2 years after I self-published my debut novel, Four Women. In 2018, I had self-published the sequel to Four Women, The Appeal of Ebony Jones. And then in 2019, I self-published two more novels, Love Never Fails, which came out, I think, on Valentine's Day, my attempt at a romance. It wasn't a good attempt. It was my attempt at a romance. And another novel that came out in the fall of that year, Adulting, I think that came out on Labor Day. And so there was a lot going on just for me, writing-wise. I was cranking out books left and right, just trying to make something shake, trying to get on and not really knowing how, but knowing I wanted to tell all these different stories that I had in my head. So Seven Daughters just became another one that was in my head and I was taking notes on. Like I have so many ideas in my phone, some more flesh than others, that I take notes on and pay attention to. And so that's kind of where it started. And I just kind of kept paying attention. And whenever characters would pop up, usually it was the mother and the daughter, because again, it was supposed to just be about the mother and the daughter. And really the daughter, the main character, her name is Tatiana. And I call her Tati. Well, we call her Tati in the novel. It was really just supposed to be about Tati's story. And so by the time I got around to writing Seven Daughters, it was now 2021. All of my self-published works had been out because my last one came out in 2020, the novel Beyond Bourbon Street. I had gotten a contract to write my first nonfiction book, Mardi Gras Indians, with LSU Press. I got that contract during the pandemic in like April of 2020 and did a lot of research for that. In the summer and fall of 2020, started writing it in January of 2021. Also at this time, I'm pregnant with my daughter. And I was doing this podcast. I launched Black and Published in January of 2021. So all of this is happening all at once. I don't recommend this kind of crazy, but this is what was happening in my life. And so in May of 2021, I had wrapped production on the first season of Black and Published. And I had gone to lunch with the writer Dontiel Moniz, who wrote the collection Milk, Blood, Heat, because she lived in Jacksonville, where I also live. And she told me about Jamie Attenberg's 1,000 Words of Summer project. And at that time, I had seen a contest from Gallery Books that was like own voices, write the first 25 pages of a novel, send it to us. You could win a $50,000 contract. So I had seen the contest. Dontiel told me about 1,000 Words of Summer. I had wrapped production of Black and Published, so there were no more interviews to do or to edit or graphics to make. I had submitted the first draft of Mardi Gras Indians to LSU Press, and I had stopped freelancing because I knew that trying to freelance with a newborn was going to be difficult. Stay with me here. And so I was bored. Not that I didn't have enough going on in my life, but apparently I was bored. And I saw this contest and I was like, you know, I could do that. I could write these 25 pages and submit it for this contest. And, you know, maybe I could win. Spoiler, I didn't. But that was what was going through my head. And so I started the manuscript that became The Seven Daughters of Dupree from the notes that I had in my phone from 2019. It was between that idea and another idea I had around the same time that I'm actually now working on now present day into something else. But it's between these two ideas. I texted my friend Celestial. You all know her as Benguni. She was the very first guest on Black and Published during season one. But I said, you know, which idea sounds better to you for this contest? And I think she picked what became Seven Daughters. I think she picked that one. And so I was like, all right, I'll go for it. Either way, I picked Seven Daughters and I started working on it. I started June 2nd of 2021 on those 25 pages. I finished them June 9th. I went to the hospital June 10th. My daughter was born June 11th at 2:12 in the morning. I was discharged from the hospital June 13th. And I get home waddling and walking slow because I still have stitches and all the things that happen when you give birth. I put the baby in like the pack and play that was beside the chaise lounge in my living room. I get my laptop and my lap desk. I read over those 25 pages and I submit them for the contest. And then either later that day or a couple days later, the thought occurred to me, oh shit, if you win this contest, they're going to want to see a whole manuscript. In that moment, it was like, fuck, I have to write a whole book. So from June 14th or whatever until like September 8th, I think, I banged out a first draft of the manuscript about this girl whose mother was a beautician and didn't know her father. And what happened in writing that first draft, because initially in my outline, it was all going to be from Tatiana's point of view at 14. And as I was writing it, I got bored with her because I'm like, she don't do nothing. She not outside having sex. She not like, you know, acting bad. She's not like a Winter Santiago, right? Like Winter was outside doing everything with everybody, right? That's not Tati. Tati's very angsty, very internal. And I was like, okay, girl, I get it. So let me see what's going on with your mama. Also, I don't really write children. Most of the characters that I've ever written have been older than me, or now that I've gotten a little older, they're now around my age. And in some things that I'm working on, they may be a little younger. As far as the adult characters, there are always children present, but I really don't spend a lot of time with them. But like Tati is 14 for the majority of Seven Daughters. And so it was just difficult for me to like stay in her perspective and her point of view. And so in that first draft, I think I gave her up until a certain point. And then I switched to her mother's point of view and give like the backstory between the mother and the father that Tati, of course, doesn't know. And then I brought it to a resolution at the end. And so I finished that first draft that was overwritten. It was like 122,000 words, all this just hefty. And I don't win the contest. And I'm like, okay, well, I still have this book. And when I finished it, I knew I wasn't done. And that was something that was new for me in self-publishing. When I would write a draft, I was very clear beginning, middle, and ending, so that when I got to the end, I would just send it over to my editing team. Yet with this one, it's like I got to the ending and there was like a lingering of the characters. because there's a scene that is still in the current version that you'll get on January 27th, a Thanksgiving scene that was there from the first draft where the grandmother, Gladys, says something that got my mind to going about like, well, what happened to Gladys, right? And so that lingering stayed with me. And then I got this image of a woman walking down this dirt road, which is the very cover that you see for The Seven Daughters of Dupree. Little spoiler, that's the character Gladys at one point in time. And so I had this vision of her in my head that, you know, is now manifested in the cover. And I was like, but where is she going? And why is she going there? And why is she walking like this? And then the vision got a little wider and I saw some things behind her. And I was like, oh, I know where she's going and I know what happens. But that still wasn't enough. Like, it was a lingering, but I was still like in that indie mindset, but also not wanting to be indie anymore. And like, you know, let me go see if this draft that I have is good enough to get an agent who will help me through the craziness of these lingering characters, right? And so by that time, I think I was in production for season two of the podcast. A few things happened during that season. When I interviewed Miss Honoré Fanon Jeffers after our conversation, and she was talking to me and trying to get to know me a little bit, and she asked me about myself, and I told her that I was a writer and what I was working on, just very broadly. And she was like, sister, it's time for you to get an agent. And all I could say was, yes, ma'am. And so like that happened. And then when I interviewed Adiba Nelson for her memoir, Ain't That a Mother, she offered to connect me with her agent. And so Adiba did, and her agent, Jess Regal, read that first draft, got back to me, was like, you know, I knew going in that reading it that it was too long. It's not bad, it's a pass for me, but try these two people who might be interested. And one of the names in that email that just connected me to is actually my agent today. His name is Peter Steinberg. We'll get to him. And so that was enough to keep me going. And by that time, I had already had it in my mind that I needed to pull the book back from trying to query agents. I think I had queried maybe three. And I was like, yeah, it's not ready. I've got too much going on in my mind about this story and what can happen. I had this vision of Gladys. And I think by that time I had listened to this podcast with the homie, the friend, the big sis, Deisha Filia. It was her interview on the Shit No One Tells You About Writing podcast, where she talked about how she teaches this workshop based off her short story, Peach Cobbler, about writing the best first line. And if you know Deisha and you know The Secret Lives of Church Ladies, then you know the first line of Peach Cobbler is epic. And so as I'm listening to Deisha talk about this during this interview, I might have been in my car thinking to myself, well, what would my best first line be? And it immediately came to me, they cut off her head because she ran. That's not a spoiler. It is literally the first line of the book. And so that line came to me and it was like an earthquake or something, like the heavens opened and a story immediately descended upon me. Like, you know, we're dealing with slavery. So, okay, how far back are we going to go? And me being the Southern Christian woman that I have become, I was, all right, seven is the number of completion. We'll do seven generations, seven women. I was like, all right, bet. What are their names? Because this is how my brain works. And so I'm thinking to myself, okay, trying to get the names and like, okay, so then what are their stories? And so I already had two, well, three of the seven. I had Tati, her mother Nadia, and her grandmother Gladys. And then I needed the other women, the other four. And so it came to me. And as it came to me, I thought to myself, well, I don't want to write a whole book just to include these other characters. And so I was like, well, what is their issue? What are their, the phrase that I use is turning points. What are the turning points in their lives that change them from being one way to being another? Because in the original first draft, the turning point for Nadia is when she meets Tati's father and how that changed kind of the trajectory of her life. And so that's a secret that she's keeping from Tati. And then Gladys, of course, is keeping a secret from Nadia. And so as I started to develop these other characters, that was my curiosity. What was the turning point? Like, what was the exact moment that they could pinpoint in their lives that changed them from being one way to another? And with that in mind, I started writing what I call the half drafts, where I wrote every subsequent character. Because in the first draft, it was Tati's story, Nadia's story,
and then the resolution of Tati's story. So I already had Nadia's turning point written. And so from there, I decided to write the rest of the women, but write them backwards. So then it was Gladys's story and what her turning point was. And then it was Gladys's mother and so on and so forth until I got to the first person in the line, the woman whose head is cut off because she ran. And so that brought me to like 2022. Yeah, because I started the first draft in June. I finished it in September. I started querying around October. I pulled it back around that same time, October, November. And by that time, my personal life was a shambles. I had a newborn, an infant. My marriage collapsed. I retained my attorney in October of 2021. I was freelancing full time, but knew that I needed to find a job to like sustain myself because $250 here, $1,000 there, $300 here, $750 there is not a living and a life to make when you have two children and are about to lose an income in your household because the marriage isn't working. So I had all these thoughts about the second draft of Seven Daughters, but no time to really write them. Like I took the notes in my phone as I always do, was very dutiful and obedient to the voices in my head and the characters as they came to me and as they spoke to me and as I saw them, taking the notes, making the outline, but really just trying to keep my shit together and keep my kids happy and stable and alive and while I'm literally falling apart. And so by February of 2022, I'm in the new season of Black and Published is going. I had an interview for the job that I had now in February. I got the job in March. I started the position in April. I stopped freelancing in May. And so I started writing the second draft with those half drafts first in May of 2022. And from May to perhaps August of 2022 is I wrote all of the characters, the subsequent women and the seven daughters wrote their turning points. And when I finished those drafts, I had then filed for divorce. I filed for divorce in May of 2022 and just made it official. And so like this book and these characters were literally all I had. Like I would wake up every morning at 5 a.m. and I set an alarm and I kept my laptop underneath my bed and I have a lap desk right next to my bed between the bed and the nightstand. And I would literally wake up, creep to the bathroom, pee, come back to bed, grab the desk, grab the laptop, open it up. And from 5 to 6:15, which is when I would wake up my son to get him ready for school, I would write. And I called that my prayer time. That normally that time of morning is usually when I do pray or read my Bible or journal or, you know, just have like, you know, some self-reflection time. But me and the Lord weren't on speaking terms at that time. So me writing became my devotional. And so from May of 2022 through like August of 2022, I wrote the subsequent women. And then in August, I started working on putting all of those turning point chapters together with Tati and Nadia's story from the very first draft of Seven Daughters. And so that took me a few months from like August to October. I think there's a picture on my Instagram. I have on a pink shirt and I'm holding the manuscript in my hand. I think that's like October 18th, 2022. And I'm asking people for like good luck and good timing and good opportunity because I'm holding the second draft. So yeah, from like August to October, I put everything together, braiding the narratives of all of these women. And then I started querying my agent in November of 2022, in like early November, like November 2nd, because I know the later I had gotten, I wasn't going to hear back because of the holidays. And so when I started querying, I had this list of 17 agents that I had compiled. And so when I started querying in November of 2022, I went to that list and I queried the first 12. And within the few days of querying, I had 6 full requests. So I knew I had something. I just wasn't sure what. And so I had 6 full requests. Then I got like 2 really good rejections. Like, I love it. It's ambitious. I don't represent fiction. Or I love it. It's ambitious. I love where you went with it. I want to make some changes, but I don't even know how to tell you to change it. So it's not for me, which is a great thing. You want an agent who gets the work or who can give you direction. And so again, I knew I had something. I just didn't know what I had. And because I had self-published for so long and had wanted to be traditionally published, like Big Five traditionally published for so long, I was trying to manage my expectations and keeping it in the back of my head that, like, you know, if this doesn't work out and if I don't get an agent, you can still do this yourself. I can still publish this on my own. Like, that was in my mind for the longest of times. Like, it might have just left my mind like sometime last year. So yeah, I had those 6 full requests, 2 great rejections, and then it was like crickets. And mind you, I'm still going through a divorce. Life is lifing. I was a mess. Like, my weight was up, my hair was falling out, my face was breaking out. I had eczema patches everywhere. I was trying to keep it together, and I wanted so bad to like have my agent and get my agent secured by the end of 2022. And it just didn't happen. And I was so broken about it because I had been working for so long. Like, I've told parts of my story before, but like, I started writing novels when I worked full-time in television and wanted to be traditionally Big Five published from the beginning. And though that didn't work out for me, and I found my own lane self-publishing and just throwing shit at a wall and seeing what would stick and like what really grinding it out, writing all the time, hours a day, books on books on books on books on books every year between 2017 and 2020, getting to 2022, 2 children, new job, marriage going through a dissolution, and with this new manuscript. And the Mardi Gras Indians book was still on its way to coming out. I think that book actually came out in October of 2022. So like, there was some pleasant moments, but you know, because that wasn't on my radar and the money was small, like no tea, no shade, like I'm grateful for the opportunity, but like it really wasn't. I'm very grateful for it. I'm very happy that I did it. I'm very proud of that book. It stretched me in ways that I hadn't been stretched and needed to be as a writer, as a journalist, as a storyteller, but my focus was on the fiction. Like that's my lane. That's where I live. That's where I stay. I do a whole lot of other things, but me and fiction, we go together real bad, right? And so even with Mardi Gras Indians coming out in October of 22, not getting an agent by the end of that year really crushed me. And so I went into 2023 just like, all right, something's got to shake. Something's got to happen. And I'm getting divorced. So something's got to happen. Lord, it's me again. Where are you? And so in January of that year, I saw a tweet, because we were still on Twitter, from my now agent, Peter Steinberg, talking about how much he loved his job, right? And so I fire back, I hope you love my book as much as you love your job. And then I wrote runs out of Twitter, like to keep it cute. And I literally like sent the tweet and then logged off. But he DM'd me and was like, no, I have your book. I'm going to read it. My company went through a merger. And so he was with Fletcher & Co., the literary agency. And Fletcher & Co. was bought by UTA, United Talent Agency. So it took a little moment. Cool, whatever. So that happened. And then he had the manuscript. My mediation for my divorce was January 31st, 2023. My ex-husband set the date that is his birthday. So very, very petty. We do the mediation, sort through and discuss all things assets and property and childcare and custody. And then the final hearing is set for February 28th, 2023. So I have a month where I'm just waiting, trying to see what the end going to be in my personal life, working a full-time job, taking care of my kids. And with this manuscript that is in these agents' inboxes, but after that initial rush of interest and activity, nothing. And sometime in February, maybe the week before the final hearing, I got an email from Peter saying that he wanted to talk and to have a call. And I was like, okay, I wasn't thinking nothing of it, right? Nothing at all. I had a call with another agent before who actually kept her inbox open to me as I revised the second draft of Seven Daughters. And she kind of kept me going and giving me little feedback here and there. I sent her a specific chapter and said that, you know, I think I found the voice. And she gave me some notes, but like that kind of bolstered me in 2022 as I was revising. But after that call with her, I'd never had a call with an agent before. So I didn't know what to expect when Peter was like, oh, well, we want to have a call. And so on February 28th, 2023, I got on a Zoom with my attorney and the judge at 10:55 that morning. I was sitting in this same position in my studio at home, getting ready to do another podcast interview with somebody else because I was told the final hearing was only going to take 5 minutes. So I'm on the Zoom sitting right here where I'm sitting now, and I'm declared single and unmarried. I log off of that Zoom. I log into another Zoom. I do a podcast interview. I finished that interview. I think I had some meetings for work. I finished those meetings for work. I went and got my kids from school and I got home with them. And then I came in my room. I sat in my bed where I would normally sit to write in the mornings. And I had the call with Peter. And again, I have no expectation. Like, I am now single. I just got divorced like 5 hours ago. So I'm just on the phone like, yeah. And he's telling me like, you know, I love this and I love this and I want to do this. And I was wondering about this. And can you tell me about this? And I'm answering the questions, but not knowing where the conversation is going because I've never had a conversation like this ever in my life. And after about an hour, he says, so I'm saying all this to say because, you know, I want to offer you representation. And my mouth dropped. I was like, I don't even know what to do with that. Like, be fucking for real. Like, I just got divorced 5.5 hours ago. And now you offering me representation on a book that high key, I thought that if I could write it and sell it, it would be what saved my marriage. Yeah. But he offered me representation and I was excited and grateful. But then I also had to like hit pause because I think maybe a week or so before I had saw AWP's writer to agent program for 2022. And I had applied. And maybe a week before my call with Peter, I was notified by AWP that an agent was interested in the manuscript. And so I was like, thank you so much. I have this other meeting with this other lady on this date and I'll get back to you. And he was like, oh, okay. And I waited a week, almost two. I told him I would get back to him by March 15th. So like, I shrugged him off for like 2 weeks. And at the end of the day, the other agents that had expressed interest or asked for full manuscripts or the other one that I had spoken to through writer to agent, none of them offered representation. There was only Peter. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to take it as a godsign. Like, this is who I'm supposed to be with. And so that is how I got with my agent, Peter Steinberg. And I'm going to continue telling the story, even though we're going to have Peter on as well as my editor. But I'll keep talking until I feel like I'm done. And so that's how I ended up signing with Peter. And when I did, I was in Austin for South by Southwest doing some work for my job on site. And so we had a call while I was in the hotel room. And the first thing that he said to me about, you know, after he talked about some editorial changes before going on submission, he was like, oh, we have to change the title. And I was like, oh, absolutely not. I love my old title so, so much. I'm not telling it to you intentionally because I don't want any confusion. But when I tell you I love my old title hard and being indie, nobody has ever told me to change a title. Like, who are you? So I was real deep in my feelings. But we were still on the call and I was like, all right, let me hear what you got. And so he started talking to me about some words that he had been brainstorming, plays on the fictional town in the book or something like that. And I think he might have said daughters or something as one of his brainstorms. But whatever he said triggered me to say The Seven Daughters of Dupree. Like, that was the new title that came to me. And he was like, I like that one. I was like, all right, I can roll with it. And so that's how we got to the title change. And then we worked together for a month. So yeah, he gave me notes in March. I sent him an updated draft with the editorial notes that he asked me to make. And they weren't many. He asked me to add an epilogue because of how, you know, the last section ends. And when you read the book, you'll find out. And then he asked me to find places to include more joy. And so I tried to do that. And I added a scene. And it didn't even make the final book. So it doesn't even matter. And so I made those changes. We changed the title. And then we ended up going on submission on May 2nd of 2023. It was a Tuesday. I think by that Friday, I had one call set up with an editor for the Tuesday of the next week. So then Peter and I scheduled a call so that he could talk me through how the editorial call process goes for like that Monday. And so that Monday comes, Peter and I talk. And by the end of the day, my inbox is full with Peter telling me that, you know, oh, we have 9 editorial calls set up for this week. And I was like, okay, cool. Let's do this thing. I do the editorial call on Tuesday. It goes fine. I do the editorial call on Wednesday with my now editor, Allison Callahan of Scout Press at Gallery Books at Simon & Schuster. And after that call with Allison, I think a few hours later, like if the call was at like 10 or 11, by 2, she had made a preemptive offer. Yeah, she made a preemptive offer. Peter told me about it, told me he was going to counter. And I was like, oh, for 2 books? And he was like, no, just for the 1. And I was like, you know what? Let me get off your phone. Let me let you do your job. I'm going to go back to minding my business and I'm going to let you mind yours. I'll talk to you later. Bye. And so he counters, they counter back. He counters again. We get the number that he asked for. And he's like, okay, so all of your other editorial calls are canceled except for an editorial call tomorrow, which would have been Thursday, with the flagship Simon & Schuster. And instead of that just being like a call on the phone, that was a Zoom call and talking to me, trying to like sway me because like the money's not going to change. I just have to pick which editor I want to work with. Champagne problems. Had never had them a day in my life, right? So we finished that call. Peter's like, well, who do you want to work with? Of course, I don't know. He's like, well, you need to make a decision before the weekend and we don't want it to roll over until next week. Otherwise, we need to have more calls. And I was like, all right, I'll let you know by tomorrow at noon. It's like Thursday, 2 p.m. The rest of my day is canceled. One, my kids were with their father because that's his custody day. So I was like, I need to figure out my life, get myself together. I phoned friends. I called on Jesus. I watched some Janet concerts. I did all the things. And Friday at noon, I think it was like 11:50, I get out my laptop to try to start drafting this email about who I'm going to choose. And Peter will tell you, like, that email went every which way. And at the very end, I think my last line, I think it just was like, it's Allison. Just a knowing in my spirit, it's Allison. And part of that knowing is because as I was trying to make the decision, Allison's team, one, during our call, they said that they would make me a lead title. 2, her imprint, which she founded Scout Press, only does like 12 fiction titles a year. So it's small enough to give me the kind of one-on-one attention that I wanted. They also went through like my Instagram page and made a deck of what they were going to do for me for the book, how they were going to like capitalize off of the platforms that I had already built and like just take that to the moon. And then they also had the publisher, Jen Bergstrom, and she's like the VP of something at Simon & Schuster. She sent me a letter, a personal letter, just like talking about the team and how much they love the book and how much they want me to come aboard and be one of their authors. And I had never seen no shit like this. I had never heard no shit like this. Like all the authors I've talked to, I haven't heard a lot of people say that, yeah, that my publisher sent me a personal letter and the team made a deck to woo me to choose them as my editorial team. Like, never heard of things like that a day in my life. So those were a couple of the reasons why I chose Allison. But, you know, you'll hear from her in a couple weeks, and she's amazing. But yeah, I got out my laptop that Friday. It was May 12th. I didn't realize it at the time, but the date was May 12th. And I sent Peter an email selecting my editor. And after I did, Allison called me on the phone, and we had a nice little kiki about being really excited to work together. And so, yeah, from May 2nd to the 12th, May 2nd going on submission and then selling the book by the 10th. Yeah, because Allison's offer was the 10th. And then I chose her as my editor on the 12th. And like, again, another reason why I chose Allison, she was the one who got the ball rolling. Like, we had a call and she went into work mode. Like, I wanted and made the offer. So like, I'm a very loyal person, and that type of belief and trust means a lot to me. And so we was on like white on rice. And it wasn't until that Saturday where I realized, oh shit, yesterday would have been my wedding anniversary. May 12th of 2012 is when I got married. And May 12th of 2023 is when I entered into the verbal agreement for the contract for the Seven Daughters of Dupree. So lots of kismetic things happening in this story. So that's how it happened. I'm trying to like tell the story and not talk about the book because you don't have it and haven't read it yet. And we can talk about that later. So yeah, next we'll have Peter come on and talk about like the agent process from his point of view and his side. We'll have Allison come on and talk about the editorial process from her point of view and her side. But like, that's how the Seven Daughters of Dupree came to be, without giving you too much on the story itself, but all of like what was happening with me as a person. So yeah.
All right. So that's the beginning of how the Seven Daughters of Dupree came to be. The novel from Scout Press is available for pre-order everywhere books are sold. And if you order from Mahogany Books, you can get a signed copy of the novel and 10% off your first purchase using the code BLACKPUB at checkout. That's BLKPUB. And I should mention that those signed copies are for the first 200 people who pre-order. So I have no idea where you're going to be in that list. But, you know, may the odds ever be in your favor.
You can also see me on tour. It kicks off Saturday, January 24th, 2026, in Jacksonville, Florida, where I live. You can find information about the tour, dates, locations, and time on my website, www.newrites.com. And Rites is W-R-I-T-E-S. Or on my Instagram page or Threads, both are at Nakisha_Elise.
That's our show for the week. I'll holla at y'all next week when our guest will be my agent, Peter Steinberg.
It's really important to me that like people have access to publishing. Mm-hmm. Like it's one of the most important things. We're not in some ivory tower. We're not in some like cordoned off place where you can't get access, because like it doesn't happen that often, but I have found some of the best work just, you know, completely cold.
That's next week on Black and Published. I'll talk to you then. Peace.
What's going on, family? This is Derek Young.
And Ramonda Young.
Owners of both Mahogany Books and the Mahogany Books Podcast Network.
We really want to thank each and every one of you for listening to this episode. And if you enjoyed what you just heard, drop us a review and rate us on whatever platform you download podcasts on.
We truly appreciate each and every one of you for supporting us and making us your go-to for Black books. And we look forward to connecting with you all sometime in the future.
Thank you again, fam. And always remember, Black books matter.